So the sermon today and the reflection is on Jeremiah 18, 1 to 13. I call this sermon Cracked Pots. Failure should be our teacher, not our undertaker. Failure is not final in the master's hand. God is the divine potter. So as the potter set the wheel, the clay pot, sometimes defects appear. It's up to the potter to let the defects there or to change and start over again. So likewise, God has the power to reshape our nation. God has the power to reshape our church. God has the power to research me and you. Now, one aspect of clay is it's mindless and passive. And if you think about it, our bodies, our flesh, is made out of the same thing flesh, clay is. So let our flesh and our carnality keep us mindless and passive. We should be willing and receptive to have God's impact on us. And as we yield to God, he begins reshaping us into valuable vessels for him. There is hope for the broken people. There is hope for the broken churches. There is hope for broken nations. But it is conditional. We have to stop resisting God. Resisting God and the works of his hands and his providence. Providence, interesting word. I looked it up in the old Webster's dictionary. It is a careful preparation and management. It's depending on God's help and God's care. Here's the scripture, Jeremiah 18. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the shop where the clay pots of jars are being made. I will speak to you while you are there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working on his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So the potter squashed the jar into a lump of clay and started again. Then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. And if I announce that I will build up and plant a certain nation or kingdom, making it strong and great, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless that nation as if I had said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all of Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster against you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. But they replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want, to follow our own evil desires. Then the Lord said, has anyone ever heard of such a thing? Even among the pagan nations, my virgin Israel has done something too terrible to understand. See, our society admires assertiveness. It admires independence and defiance of authority. In a relationship with God, these qualities become stubbornness, They become self-importance and pride. The refusal to listen or change, the refusal to repent, change for the better. Left unchecked, stubbornness becomes a way of life. And that way of life is hostility toward God. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now that fear, broken down in Hebrew, is we should be in awe of God. We should respect, we should revere, and we should honor God. So that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise the actual word of God, our instruction manual. This right here is what churches are founded on. This right here is what our country was founded on. This right here is what you and I should place as our foundation. Amen? So Proverbs 1, 24 to 23. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. When they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full of their own fancy. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell in safety and will be secure without fear or evil. God pleads for us to enroll in Wisdom University. Right here in this book is where we get the master's degree. Wisdom calls aloud and raises her voice and cries out, speaks her words and stretches out her hand. Wisdom is not secret or evasive. She goes public like a fiery prophet, thundering her voice for all to hear. Wisdom has made every effort to convince us. What more can she do? She even asked, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Simple means stupid. Wisdom wants to know how long we plan to stay stupid. Her statement implies we should have seen the error of our foolish ways by now. But we refused and disdained her, and stupidity despises wisdom, and here are the results. In verse 26, we see derision. In verse 27, devastation, destruction, distress. In verse 28, we see desperation and devastation. How long will you be stupid? Wisdom is pleading. Will you hear her voice? So God uses this parable of the potter and the clay to help us understand God is sovereign. Now this proverb is black and white. It's actually a call to action, to help us understand. Now, this potter demonstration right here is the same in Jeremiah's day as it is now. A potter is an unchanged art, one of the oldest trades, makes it easy for everybody to understand because it's basically the same. You have a table, you have a wheel, and you have clay. The only thing that really changes, there's a motor and maybe a little bit fancier tools, but everything is made with the hands. It tells us clay is like our flesh, the wheel is like life. Round and round and round we go, where we stop, nobody knows, except God. So when God wants to change our flesh in this life and rework things, that is grace. In chapter 29, I encourage everybody to read it. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to try and give you a brief description. God gives Israel another chance. He tells Jeremiah to go down there with a pot and to break the pot. And as the broken pieces are there, Jeremiah said, this is what God's going to do unless you repent. And then they throw the shards of the pot into the potter's field, which at one time was just a field for all this clay. But God reminds them that potter's field has turned into a graveyard for all the babies they have killed, all the children sacrificed to Moloch. And then it's going to turn into a graveyard with all the people that are going to be destroyed. It's going to be a trash heap that's going to be burning and stinking for a long, long time. Description of Hades, description of hell. And that is where Judas ended up. So clay will eventually harden after being reworked numerous times. And then it will be worth nothing, and then it will be destroyed. Sin hardens our hearts. The refusal to repent will make us hostile to God, make us hostile to God's word. Think about that. The description of insanity is doing things over and over and over again and expecting different results. Sin is spiritual insanity. When we fail to obey, when we fail to trust in God's hands and God's providence, in the small things as well as the big in our lives. As I was putting this together, I did some research, and I looked around, and I read a couple sermons. And one of the sermons by Charles Spurgeon brought to mind a familiar story that we've all heard numerous times, but I never looked at it this way. He talked about the story of pregnant Mary and Joseph heading to Bethlehem. So at that time, Caesar, who in no way is a Christian or a Jew, as a matter of fact, he actually thought he was God, he came up with the idea, he wanted everybody to go to where they were born so they can count them and be able to tax them more freely. And so the rest of the muckety ducks in Rome thought this was a crackpot idea. Why not just do it where they're at? Caesar got his way. Joseph and Mary obeyed. Now what would have happened if Caesar didn't do that? What would have happened if Joseph and Mary thought, oh, that's too far to go with a pregnant wife? Jesus wouldn't have been born in Bethlehem. The Messiah, not born in Bethlehem. All the prophecy earlier in the Bible would have made a mix match. The Bible as we know it could have been different. That's God's providence in a good way. I was brought to mind another thing that happened. God's providence. God worked 6 days and he took the seventh day off, and he decreed Sunday to be a day of worship, a day of relaxation, a day of rest. And as I look around here, what I don't see a lot of, what I used to see 40 years ago, was husbands and wives and children, grandmothers and grandfathers, uncles and aunts coming together, and going home and joining in family meals of fun and relaxation. And then somebody had a crackpot idea, let's eliminate this blue law. The blue law was where businesses were closed by law. That changed. Look what happened. Men are working, women are working, kids are working. If they're not working, where are they? Sports, cheerleading. Nobody's together anymore. The providence of God, and we didn't trust it. We didn't obey it. Think about that one. Wisdom affects the head, but it also must affect the heart. With our hands, we have knowledge of God's word, but with our hearts, we keep God's commandments. God instructed us to write his commandments on the tablets of our hearts, that we might not sin against him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5. Trust is a big deal, for relationships are built upon it. The Bible says we can trust the Lord, for he is trustworthy. Do you know why we don't honor the Lord with all of our possessions? It's a heart issue. Do you know why we despise the chastising of the Lord? It is a heart issue. Think about it. Pray about it. Have yourselves a great Sunday. Have yourselves a greater eternity. Join me now in a hymn. You're going to find it on page 467. Trusting and obeying.